Hello, listeners. We'd like to apologise in advance for the audio quality of this episode. There are some odd gaps and pops, and it's affected Tonya in particular with dropping words or parts thereof out. We're looking at whether we can get a better quality of audio up at a later date. We hope you'll enjoy the episode anyway.
The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games. Group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box, bring their game pitches to you, in which our heroes draw a card.
Hi there, listeners, and welcome to episode 36 of The Big Red Couch. We're about to draw a card to find out what we're going to be subjected to, or more accurately, what you're going to be subjected to this week. And this time, Tonya is doing the honours.
Woo! Another scuffle. Think I've only got one. Yep, cool.
Caveman scientists.
Ook.
That's awesome. I think that one actually comes to us from a Dresden Kodak comic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a last Far Side.
Yeah. Possibly Far Side. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Caveman scientists testing out their prototype time log. Hooting excitingly and appearing excitedly and appearing above traffic. Manhattan traffic or something.
That's awesome. Okay. I am sure we will do horrible things to that. Apologies
we
to
will.
Mr. Larson.
Sorry, dude.
Some days later.
Welcome all to episode 36 of Big Red Couch. Our episode title today is Caveman Scientists.
It's a good one.
Who's got ideas?
I have both an idea, and Gulo T has also sent an idea through the medium of idly mentioning it in my earshot.
The Gulo is good, that one. Excellent.
Though I do have a question I want to ask first, and this isn't going to work so well because it's in a podcast and not a video podcast, but yeah, show of hands. Who immediately went to the Far Side cartoon with the primitive scientists and the time log?
Three out of four.
The record show, three quarters of the cast, Ben is the abstainer.
No, I immediately went there, but since this is radio, I didn't think it made any difference.
Okay. 100% of the cast were immediately inspired to think of the famous caveman scientist Gork and Thank.
Trying out their time log.
Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Now we've established that important fact. I guess we get to say that here today we have Ben on the couch.
Oh, yeah. Tonya.
Kev.
Craig!
Woohoo! I'm still feeling a warm glow of achievement when I get my name right.
And you should. I think it's important.
Absolutely. Take the win where you find it.
Yeah.
Also, it helped us get out of the sticky situation vis-a-vis the gutter Skypes and the fact that we couldn't decide whether one of their regular and indeed founding members was actually a gutter Skype. I mean, he'd only been podcasting for many more years than us. But the fact that one of the members of our cast has on more than one occasion forgotten their own name when introducing themselves helped bridge that nicely. So
yes, that totally reinforces our credibility as we perceive it.
Yeah, I'm not going to name the person because I don't want to embarrass Kevlar. Oh, shit. Okay. Is this microphone running?
All right.
So, well, Craig put his hand up for...
His fault. He goes.
He goes first.
All right. I managed to steer away from the time log and went back to... Generation ships.
Okay.
Fairly classic. Science fiction meme is the generation ship where generations of people will live and die on this colony ship before it gets to its destination, only something goes wrong and they backslide or they forget that they've been on a ship, they're on a ship altogether, etc.
Brian Aldiss nonstop.
For example.
Mm-hmm.
I think Heinlein had a crack at what? At least one crack at it.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of...
It's a known thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
That we've played with repeatedly. It's cool.
Yeah,
it's true.
So my one involves, you've got a colony ship. They've probably hollowed out an asteroid or something to get the necessary space and wide open field, living environment. And probably on the grounds that you couldn't reasonably upkeep the level of tech, they've probably got a certain amount of planning that, you know, they're expecting technology to drop to a little bit pre-industrial. Just because of what you can reasonably support in that environment. And you've got computer systems in place, the ship's pretty much automatic, they'll get to their destination, and then these people will have the necessary skill, you know, they'll have the necessary skills for farming and all that kind of thing. They can be taught the rest.
Backslide goes a little further than expected?
Yeah, something's gone wrong. They have backslid way further. They've backslid to pre-agricultural.
Okay.
The ship's made it to its destination. It's parked itself in orbit. And the various systems that were dormant all this time that are supposed to be picking people and sort of educating them for what they need and getting them down to the planet are now faced with a situation of a bunch of equipment that really isn't working that well anymore. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people who have no idea what they're doing because they've been living in caves for hundreds if not thousands of years.
Technical things.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And the game is basically a bunch of cavemen attempting to colonize a world under the well-meaning but possibly poorly organized and badly damaged guidance of AIs.
We're the AIs, right? The players are the AIs.
I hadn't thought of that option.
It's harking back to our Romans.
Yeah. Okay, well, we can cut back to the the AIs. I was players as the AIs. I was imagining it as those few brave and possibly a little bit clued up cavemen attempting to do science and attempting to figure out how the hell to fix this space, fix what needs to be fixed on this spaceship, how potentially to get to the dropship bays when none of them can read the manuals and the signs that were left for them.
Okay, so it's about attempting to figure out how to and figure out the point the next.
Indeed.
Because it would be quite nice, and you could get quite a nice one shot out of just, oh, okay, so that's your magic button. If we can get through this little door, it will automatically go as you have right there, live happily ever after on the planet.
Nice. Like it. I was thinking of it as sort of the extended game of all of the systems more or less work, but they were assuming a bunch of people who were just short of industrial age. They never, the system never took into account people who'd backslid further than that. And so you've got people who are unfamiliar with the concept of agriculture trying under well-meaning guidance to build a civilization.
Oh, okay, so you're thinking a longer campaign, you're building a civilization on the hollow asteroid before you go.
I'm thinking trying to build the civilization on the planet.
Oh, okay.
That as the as the orbiting colony ship is starting to shut down because it's got to its destination.
There's all sorts of kind of angles on this that would be really wooden through, because there's the somewhat Roman deity themed thing of the AI is trying to maintain order and kind of uplift people. There's the game of what happens when degraded and bashed about helper bots and AIs wake up because the ship is now decelerating, have to go get things organized and find people to take on the various roles that the ship requires a human to do in order to set going various processes, except they can't, so they have to, by fair means or foul, fool the denizens of the ship into going here and putting their hand on the thing that the computer thinks, yes, he's here to do this thing.
So they were expecting people to be... I like it. They weren't expecting as much of a learning curve.
The the very least would say read or verbal instructions where there's a shift in that.
Or wouldn't be completely terrified of what they were looking at.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of a campaign that somebody did. It was a really fantastic one, horrible one, of basically a Wally campaign, but on one of the other ships was worse. You've got...
To clarify, this is the Pixar movie, not the Find the Guy in the Stripy Shirt.
Correct.
Okay, just checking.
Where you've got a ship full of feral robots who have just, they've been abandoned, people died, and they've just been forming their own weird and wacky ecosystem. And the campaign was about some of the surviving bots that found a sacred text of what the ship's original function was and trying to go do that without remembering it. And have to get from point A across the ship, surviving, that they have to go across the pool area and survive the swimming shoals of feral robot-eating umbrella shark thing. and all sorts of stuff. So just that kind of thing where you've got robots or AIs who are kind of doing, okay, there's a whole, we have a whole nice little checklist to do. And we're not capable of doing it ourselves. And things go very badly wrong if they're not done in the right order. How do we make this happen? And so basically getting cavemen to fulfill the function of astronaut without actually
understanding it
just long enough to land, because then that buys them time.
Mm.
So you've got kind of post-landing, pre-landing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cavemen versus astronauts, the ancient equestrian.
Yep.
That is a neat idea. I think this may be one of the episodes where we come closer to coring each other. But I'll be curious to see how it goes.
He says, looking at the ship, John Dee.
Yes. Delicious, buttery John Dee.
Something that you said...
He'll know what he did. It's fine.
Yeah. Regarding the generation ship and something goes wrong, dot, dot, dot.
It's a classic.
It's a classic, but I was also considering the possibility that nothing has gone wrong. It's just that the genetic cargo of human beings have been stored by putting them into a semi-artificial grassland and told to hunt the gazelle for the next 100,000 years. They'll be fine.
yeah, and, pretty much.
And get, when they reach a destination, the fact that they have no concept of what the original plan was is perfectly irrelevant. You know, they're still functioning humanoid and, you know, you utilize the same sort of sugars and proteins. So they're perfectly suitable for the task at hand. Working out.
Getting them from orbit to planet is the...
If you're cynical enough to just lord a subspecies off into space and on the assumption that, you know, they'll sort it out when they get there, that might be the case.
Yeah. I've been working on the assumption that if you're sending a generation, park it in orbit where you're getting it to so that bots can go down and stop the environment.
Mm.
Otherwise, they're sending pre-industrial...
Unless you take a very long-term high-K strategy to colonisation. It has partially the effect that you're not going to get the flashback of having a group of your species with all the information about your world coming along with them. All you've got is a vector and a bunch of genetic information that says, oh, they came from that direction. And going that way. We don't even know what that way is.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't think of generation ship. I thought of another angle on it, which embraced the scientific direction.
Mm-hmm.
What if some quite suspended animations and quite other things, but basically human genetic stock was reconstructed from storage at the other end, and the computer would build and survive, do iterative tests during travel. And so you have a whole bunch of people who, they're astronauts, they've been trained for this, and they find themselves that the computer has built themselves something to be perfect for the environment that is a caveman. And so you've got people who are very used to really fine motor control and have plans and problems and things built around this, who are having to build new tools that they can degree of fine motor they don't have.
So you think this is an upload to a built body?
Yeah. So that you have people who are used to doing the, you know, very fine motor control on joysticks and things, and they've got given bodies that are tote, carry, poor posture, bash, because they've been...
They've got the sort of physique where they can punch out a silverback. What they can't do is use a pencil.
Or sit comfortably. At a chair.
The wrong damn chair.
Yeah, they have thumbs, but they're not, you know, pencil-using thumbs. We know them. Yeah. It's much more Tarzan-batchy grip strength, kind of.
Maybe the world they've arrived on is suited for a more robustus sort of frame, and the delicate silvery machines have gone, all right, we'll do a few tweaks. That information's in the genome somewhere. Pulled out some nice... Slopey brows and
pop in a few Homo Neanderthalus gene sequences, they'll be fine.
I just had this image of these caveman scientists trying to do a thing where, you know, they know exactly what sequence of buttons they need to push. They're just, it's a higher K world, atmosphere's denser, they're physically bigger than they used to be, they can't just hit precise controls, and kind of building this armature out of twigs and other things so that with arm movements they can move, eventually it narrows down to kind of a single stick and kind of doing, okay, that one...
Button.
That one.
Button.
That one.
Button.
Hash key. Success! And it only took them 2 days to build this thing.
Finally, my microwave porridge!
Yes, it's just something like that. So that you've got scientist brains being applied to out-of-context problems at a physical level.
Huh, interesting.
Wondering also if there might be some sort of neurological gap where their apprehension of the world is more naive, while rationally they have all this information and memories... That would totally make them scientists, but they're perceiving the world through a lens of that is filled with spirits and magic, and the idea of they're working, they're trying to interpret the environment through this lens.
I'm not sure you could make that be interesting for a story, though. So don't you?
It would make it weird because you'd have somebody who comprehends the idea of how to assemble a circuit board, but is also worried about the electricity spirits running through it and appeasing them. So it'd be very kind of mangled thinking.
And a fairly close match for Warhammer 40K.
Yes.
We give our prayers to the soul. Thank you for your sacrifice on this day of circuit board building. melt.
I'm kind of getting a Golden Age SF thing. If you know, it is a campaign of bright people solving problems with intelligence. It's just that the barrier is themselves. That they have these kits for, is the air breathable? And they're looking at the tiny little fragile test tubes the computer has thoughtfully arranged and going, we're going to need to figure out an alternative test for this. And coming at it from first principles, what is the simplest, bluntest tool that we come up with as an experimental that will do the same job?
Oh, my brain is going. Simplest tool for the air breathable? Catnavo.
Possibly.
Maybe a mouse in a box. It's easier to wrangle in. Anyway.
A cat in a box will also tell you if it's raining.
That's
if you
true.
Hold the thing back in and the cat is furious and bites you, it's raining.
Okay, so we suitably mangled your idea? Or?
I think so. I think that one's been kicked around a bit.
Quick segue as well regarding your Wally diabolical environment machines. That made me think of a 2008 story of Metalzoic. Kevin O'Neill artwork. The world at some point, it was like the magnetic core or something. Something terrible happened. Robots took over and basically evolved into entire phylo of robotic animals and so forth. And they have terrible names like wieldy beasts. And the puns are pretty horrific.
Yeah, it's bad.
But fairly standard for 2000 AD.
Yes, it is.
Serious British science fiction.
By people who aren't very serious.
I thought of another angle for the generation ship scheme, flipping it around completely. If you have the problem of different ships being launched at different times with different technologies, later on, ships are launched, generation ships, FTL ships, that arrive and colonize somewhere and it's all hunky-dory-dandy, and or maybe it's an alien civilization with integrated AIs and other things, but one of these generation ships turns up that has backslid much further than expected, and so that you have these very evolutionarily defined, tough caveman people who are also capable of figuring things out on their own, but they don't know what they're looking at. So it's kind of, we don't want to wipe out this weird little civilization, but they're dismantling things that we need a lot, and then they're not understanding when we ask them not to, what do we do?
For some reason you're making me think of Mythbusters.
Yeah! Do you have an idea, or I could go into John Pent, because I just realised it kind of connects?
I do, but if yours connects, that's
okay.
A good place to seek to.
Well, I didn't initially start with an idea, but I'm starting to get some. I'm going to use the contribution from one John Allison, once again, as my prosthetic brain, because we're getting ready for a house move and haven't really been thinking. Here we go. A dinosaur-killing-level asteroid apocalypse has occurred, which the human species barely survived by virtue of there being a lot of us and the existence of tin food. Nearly all civilization, technology, and detailed knowledge are lost. 100 or so years afterwards, scattered human tribes exist on a spectrum from hunter-gatherer to pre-age agriculture. Your tribe, however, is slightly special. Its founder wrote down and preserved not any specific scientific facts, but the simple idea of science. They've passed down the basic concepts of being comprehensible with careful experiment and free argument. It hasn't really had time to pay huge dividends. They've been so focused on survival of generation, but their crops are a little more productive than average, and their shells are a little sturdier. Since things have finally gotten sort of stable, and they have a nice vilification and a load of grain to survive a bad season if necessary, as an act of devotion, they decided they'd experiment. The players, consisting of a party of the villagers most promising, will set out to determine this. The idea is the same as Eratosthenes used, independently figured out by one in the village, Eratosthenes is lost. You have a stick of a certain known length, it is placed straight up in the ground at noon on spring equinox, the length of which is measured. The task of this party is to journey south to a particular location 100 kilometers is known, from markers only leading to it. They must make it there by the automix, with the stick, and experiment. Difference in shadow lengths traveled will allow...
That is awesome.
The village and party have prized surviving artifacts of the old world, perhaps a tape measure for convenience. The main source of adventure and conflict is other villages encountered along the way, along with a small nomad or bandits. Any other group that's stationary would probably represent a session or just the party that was on. Encounter groups may be hostile in a few cases, or to solve. One common situation might be a village which has some artifact of the old world. They don't know what it's supposed to do or how to make it work, or maybe think it does something that's actually randomly. And the players could use an introduced systematic problems and techniques to fix. I see it, in summary, as a sort of pilgrimage journey through unknown and dangerous land, the party as evangelists for the...
That's really awesome.
It is.
It reminds me of a not in any specific... Yes, it clearly derived from this way. But it reminds me of an awful lot of TV shows from my youth. King's Act 2, specifically?
We've brought that one up before.
Oh, have we?
We did?
Yeah.
basically people roam around in a giant, very sci-fi looking RV with their pet monkey to save the universe. I'm like 13.
So it's here, saving the world. And
whereas this is far more rooted in the actual science thing.
Indeed. Which is awesome, with much fewer jetpacks.
I think it is a fantastic idea, and we somehow need to find and secure John Ellison's brain before the podcasts find him. We cannot allow a jaunting gap. That is kind of, he's completely messed up on all schemes by going deep and meaningful with us on this idea.
Thanks, John.
Because that is taking the concept in a really quite touching, heartwarming, and rich direction.
It's a canticle for Leibowitz for rational thinking.
Yeah.
Rather than for a cultural, moral kind of code. I really appreciate it. And the little I had thought about was literally that early humans were scientists. They performed experiments daily in a gigantic laboratory called Get Off the Veldt, It's Going to Eat You.
I admittedly was sitting there thinking,
Repeated experiments of, was that rustling a jaguar or just the wind?
Jimmy, go figure that out.
I know that I think one of the longest stretches of dead straight train track in the world is the Nullarbor Plains, Australia, which unfortunately goes in precisely the wrong direction.
It's east-west.
Yeah, which then made me think of, okay, what is the longest length of more or less straight north-south road in the world?
Or railway track, because that will do the same.
Or railway track. True, you could count sleep. That was just the thing that came to mind.
That's the kind of thing Wolfram Elf.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
I mean, it's such a fleshed-out idea, I don't really have too much to add to it, which is why it was a good prosthetic brain for the session.
Yeah, the only thing we have to add is, when are you running it, John?
Yeah.
John.
Structurally, it's one of those, it's the journey, not the destination.
Absolutely.
Games. Because within context, none of the players care how big the world is.
Mm.
To a degree, it's more the fact that they are making this observance, proving that their traditions and the things they've been keeping safe for the couple of generations since all crap is real, is the important part. The actual numbers involved in the size of the Earth,
not that important.
Not that important. They're not actually going to be able to get sat-nav working anytime soon. It's going to be useful eventually, but...
yeah, sort assuming of the satellites survived.
Yeah, the game is about the journey.
Yeah.
And it's weirdly about the side effect. Because they are going to have knock-on consequences with the people that they've helped and talked to that they're not really even paying attention to.
If they're specifically following either train track or if we're going to the... with the US, one of the really big north-south states. My temptation as a GM would be to riff a little bit on the Book of the Postman, that you've got these guys making their way down the highway, counting off the mile marker, having adventures along the way, but in their wake, these various places are starting to talk to each other more.
Things are changing.
And the guys who were fighting a losing battle against bandits that... our intrepid heroes beat through the awesomeness of science.
That has to be on character sheets as a skill.
Science! Absolutely. With an exclamation.
Yep.
Small point of order. I think that they were dealing with a point of human civilization where banditry is a concept that's actually a tech level above you. You have to be outside of the system
you
to
don't
be.
Don't actually need a lot of tech for it to be a raider.
Yeah, I know, but that would just be their lifestyle. That would be their cultural norm. But I think rather than having it conflict centric, the idea of them meeting these groups and establishing awkward communications and discovering that each of them are facing a problem that they can approach with their tradition and spreading this appreciation and helping, that would lend to the theme. And actually be the positive outcome that they're looking for. The way that they make this journey and prove the world as they go, they make the world a bigger place, or they find out the size or the weight of the world by having these interactions. In fact, they get to the place to put the stake up and go, ooh, yep, checks out, walk home again.
Hey, look at that, 3.5 meters. How about that? Okay.
I kind of thought that was implied.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be conflict, but it's going to be ones of communication context. I mean, something that just occurred to me is that it is a very similar story, but shifted in terms of technological context to Fallout as a series, in terms of that you have people with problem-solving ability for people who have lost knowledge, that rather than dealing with the town that's most valued possession that they are worshipping is the nuclear silo leaking their water supply that they want strangers to touch, but it's killing them. It's going to be something else, like the people who have decided that the strange blue mold that grows on the inside of the cave where they sleep, they're protecting them. Note.
It's protecting them from anyone else moving in.
Yeah, you know, it's a similar kind of story, but about occupation.
Yep.
And learning spreads more or less by accident. Craig's had a horrible idea.
I can tell from the horrible expression.
Yes.
Well, I was just realizing that you've got this small group of people who are traveling a vast distance to do a thing, but along the way they are carrying, you know, especially with as. Yeah, with the spread of these practices and beliefs of science along the way. This is Journey to the West, rotated 90s.
Yes.
Journey to the South?
That's Journey to the South.
Or the North.
That's true, or the North.
It doesn't matter which.
Yes. Set it in Darwin, they can follow the GAN. Set it in Australia, they can follow the GAN, South.
If we want to make a completely Gulo T-level pun and suggest that the naming patterns of this culture followed along scientific lines, it could be the spirit of lab monkey is irrepressible.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's bad.
So you actually do have a group of people whose names are monkey, rat, dog.
Oh, I was thinking that we have somebody called lab monkey.
Well, they're all from the lab family.
Ah, right, true. This is a fantastically horrible act.
Yes. That might dissolve some of the
gravitas.
Yeah.
To be fair, we're not really into games do gravitas normally. Well,
we are diminishing some of the essential crystalline dignity of John's suggestion.
And
he knew what he was doing when he submitted it.
That is true. We are bad people.
All of those construction workers knew exactly what they were doing when they decided to work on Second Death Star.
We are not getting him yet, but he's already into look down, night fail.
That's kind of an awesome idea.
Mm. Yeah, it kind of is.
Mm.
It's occurred to me that we've got examples from popular culture where kind of caveman scientists already exist if we squint and look at it a little. Gurren Lagann, as a show, is about a culture trapped living in caves who stumble on to how the technology surrounding them really works, and
although completely by accident and not accuse them in the scientific method in any way, shape, or form.
They really, really don't.
Leron does not count.
No, they really, really don't count. And yet, it is about this discovery of information, learning more, uncovering new layers to the universe and deciding that's unfair, let's punch it.
Spiral power.
Yes.
Spiral power.
Yes. Spiral power.
Okay, so shall I?
Mm-hmm. Might as well.
Thing? I don't have a role-playing game. I've got a card game.
Yay!
That's it. Podcast over.
First ideas towards a card game. So you have players who are a caveman scientist, and you have... Basically, it's the race to do the first caveman scientist get their discovery or invention completed and accepted by their tribe. So you have the different players are trying to get to wheel or fire or
dog.
No, we've already discovered that.
Yes, we haven't domesticated them.
That's stick. True. Okay, ooh. Dog. Yes, a better throw-in stick.
That
sort of thing. So you'll have some inventions that are relatively easy to make, but a bit complicated to explain. You'll have some things that are complicated to make, but everybody's going to go, wow!
Interesting.
Things in the deck that will help get to those goals.
That's way better than what I was imagining.
Hmm?
Well, because basically my brain just took the Academy of Science scenes from Pirates Band of Misfits and replaced everybody with the Flintstones.
Now that you mention it, that's not too far off.
I kind of like that idea. I like the idea of the card game. I think it could be done as a short, not terribly serious game, because I'm just imagining what that would look like from the outside of the culture, and that you have someone who has planted their stick in the ground and is declaiming, "Dogs, friends!" is run over by a mob of dogs and bitten severely. And he gets over, "Dogs, friends!" and is kind of claiming that mistakes were made, and kind of one day, one glorious day, the dogs will no longer bite him so badly. And everyone's going, uh-huh, it's kind of eating cave popcorn. It goes off and does stuff.
Yes, dogs help hunt. Dog not eat all food. Yeah, that would be kind of the progression of the... I see it being one of these games, again, a little along the lines of Gru, where you would be able to spoil each other's progress and teach the room as a whole who swears and rude words for each other, preferably in a suitably caveman argo.
Could there be a card that is basically the I have just played a card to spoil what you're doing, which would be something along the lines of me am go too far.
That is
I was just guessing
that.
Absolutely.
That needs to be the title of the game. We am go too far, we am play gods.
We need to ask the Dresden Kodak person about it.
We would be stealing
that then.
I can't imagine that they would mind if it was funny, but we certainly want to check. The other thing that I think would be really important if the game was called We Am Go Too Far, We Am Play Gods is that there needs to be a capacity to speed too well.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
You successfully develop fire, it spreads like wildfire, and then a short while later everybody is standing by the shores of the lake watching the veld to burn down and throwing rocks at the person who came up with this idea.
I was thinking that rather than just the experiment goes wrong, that we have domesticated dogs, we have taught them how to coordinate. We are now dog pets.
Also like what happened with cats.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That might be the prime example. And also Rick and Morty.
And that's kind of what I was thinking. It's just that kind of thing. Not just the we broke the world kind of thing, but just now we have runaway use of fire. We're using fire in strange new ways. This is called, you know, we're losing all of our night vision, so we're being predated by animals more.
So it's now very fashionable to wear fire.
Yes!
Must work out fix for hooting and hollering problem.
Yes.
Also new skin.
Too much success on wheels. Wheelchairs are the new thing. So you've got people trying to figure out hunting techniques where they're squeaking along on wheels, chasing wildebeest, and they're going, we can keep up this amble all day, dudes. but to not use wheels is uncool.
Domesticated dogs. All they do is lie around the cave and eat all our shit.
Anyway.
Yes, dogs sit there looking at us with big soulful eyes, and we give them all food. Now we are hunting the dogs and are starving.
So yeah, that was my idea.
I like your idea. Cool. That is a good idea.
So now we are looking forward to...
Or
we can look back at Kevin for whatever his idea was.
That is true. I kind of wound up mentioning all of the weird little idea fragments I had as they came up. So I didn't really start with them, but I've had ideas in response to other people, because that was fun. And then I am lazy.
Did you say them already?
I think so. Okay. Or I've forgotten them, so they didn't survive the experimental process.
Indeed. The closest thing I had to an idea, it was articulated in the John tent and given a brain and a soul. So
thanks, John.
Yeah.
But we'll just retire now.
Golo T had an idea, sort of, about this. By taking caveman scientists and looking at it the other way around.
Scientist caveman?
No. Scientists studying cavemen.
Ooh.
Interesting.
That was
the entirety of Gulo T's idea. I immediately went with time travel. I also went with, again, space colonization. If rather than doing the kind of dickish Star Trek, oh, they are a primitive culture, we must not do anything with or to or near them whatsoever, except to turn them into a horrifying parody of the Third Reich. I'm sure it only happened the once.
Per series.
Oh. Anyway. In either case, scientists studying cavemen. I can't really decide whether they are sort of working as sort of embedded scientists within caveman culture.
Observers internal to society.
Indeed. Or whether they're setting themselves up just a little bit outside the society, as in tribe.
Now, either way, that to say nothing of the dog...
Yes, the Connie Willis time-travelling historian books.
Also Firewatch.
Firewatch. That's what it reminded me of.
Newsday book and a bunch of other ones. Yeah. Where you've got the observer in place trying to study what's going on and invariably getting involved. And if you had them as...
If you've got them set up the tribe next door, say.
If you've got a fairly small group of time travel. In fact, if you go with the Terra Nova approach, that time travel is a one-way trip, but information flow both ways, then you should have some fun there with a small scientific team who are spending the rest of their lives studying cavemen, and I suspect gradually becoming more involved in the caveman society. Even though they might have hidden off somewhere, buried under a hill, they've got their nice fancy research base and medical gear and everything, but they're still stumping around in animal skin every day, and they're still going to get involved when another more aggressive tribe comes through and starts being immortal crap out of their study subject.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I went with it.
An idea it reminds me of is something I don't... Well, we could do it as a game. It's kind of already been written. But the whole dynamic between a very primitive culture and advanced, but as seen perspective, the primitive culture, emission of gravity.
Yeah.
The Mesclunites don't have a great deal of emission and or the formal scientific, they're capable of standing things, and the scientists sign the gear because no one else can. And so it's all about them going through, never been in before, figuring shit out. So...
And as soon as they get their claws, sorry, manipulating.
Claws is about right.
The scientific method. Boy, howdy, do they figure it out and start using it on everything!
Because the Mesclunites are awesome. Interesting story. So, yeah, they could do with that, about that kind of indication. We could do it as scientists watching cavemen. We could do it of what happens when something goes wrong and the embedded science gets stuck.
Mm.
What happens now?
Equally, if your travel is two-way, you could have episodes, okay, we grabbed you, but we all, some of the cavemen, and we've lost track. So, back in the future, you either have a group of players as... cavemen trying to figure out how to live in this new environment, really not understanding, or a let us hunt safely and safely return these people to their own time when they are hiding from us because they took one look at his car, went completely bananas and lost in the Appalachians.
I've had an idea. based on that idea of you know, these are people studying cavemen, time travel happens, they accidentally grabbed some cavemen along with people. So we have a whole Back to the Future time paradox scenario. Some of the cavemen who were nicked turned out to be important because of stuff they figured out. And so we have a theoretically advanced culture, but where things are falling apart because the knowledge of how to do certain particular things faded out because the people who had descendants who figured that out, or who figured that out themselves, didn't pass it on because they got pulled into the future. So that you have cavemen who know about levers, and the world is falling apart because lever tech can happen.
And so was delayed enough that everything else has been shunted forward.
Yes, so then you've got cavemen with really, you've got scientists with really, really advanced technology being taught how to do basic things by cavemen trying to find their way home.
Okay, so a mixed scientist caveman.
Yes.
Party.
Another slice on that was the either basically Von Daniken Chariot of the Gods thing.
Except the horrible racism.
The racism and the interbreeding. But yes, so maybe your highly advanced alien species arrives on Earth, crashes, and this is a world of crap, recruits / teams up with some of the locals to help them survive and return home. And the idea is that they are using the locals' local knowledge and skills and so forth, and working together, caveman and scientist, to pull through. And, you know, maybe the cavemen learn a few things, establish a few wackyogens based around them as they go on. But
reminds me a bit of the Truckers, Diggers, Wings trilogy, the Bromeliad.
I really should finish.
Where you've got people following along, listening to this hugely knowledgeable kind of dickish artifact, trying together. The artifact has been hindered by the fact around it.
So you bury your dead inside foxes.
So those were some ideas.
Those were some ideas. And nobody came up with a time log.
That's true. Or possibly because many of us thought time log and tried not.
I did have an idea sort of spun off the time log.
Mm.
Only I thought of it, forgot it, and forgot to look up the name of the movie. But there is a movie out there in which, and I feel kind of dirty for saying this, H.G. Wells chases Jack the Ripper
time after time.
Through time, and for some reason ends up in the 80s.
I was hoping it was 3000 BC with Raquel Welch.
No.
Very, very little H.G. Wells in 3000.
Rather also more Raquel Welch?
As you say, quite a lot of Raquel Welch.
That would have been a much better movie to base it.
I don't know, H.G. Wells in a furry bikini?
Played by the same guy who played Little Alex? Yeah, that's not going to haunt anyone's dreams.
Malcolm McDowell?
Anyway.
There's an audience out there, I'm sure.
I, when remembering the Fireside time log thing, imagine the caveman scientist putting together a time machine using rocks and fronds, sticks crystals. And crystals.
Crystals
which are integral.
Yeah.
More people should read Atomic Robo, specifically anything to do with Dr. Dinosaur. You'll understand why.
Mammal treachery.
Mammal treachery. And yes, imagining these caveman scientists, they have put together their time log. They have traveled into the future. And you've basically got, it would have to be a comedy game because I can't think of how not to make it a comedy game. You have cavemen essentially cropping up at different points of in history. To a certain extent, almost mirroring what was in the John 10.
Mm-hmm.
Except, in this case, it's less improving things and more arriving in a time period. Oh, God, it's sliders with spears. Oh, I feel dirty.
Well, what you're saying is it's already better than sliders.
Yes.
But not unjust.
Yes, you've got them cropping up in time periods, waiting for the time log to recharge, getting involved in wacky adventures, possibly helping people along the way. Let's just skip that language barrier thing altogether. That would be awkward. As they travel either into the distant future, or they're possibly traveling backwards through time, attempting to
find their way home. But you could also possibly do a primitive quantum thing. So as opposed to going specifically forward or specifically back, they're kind of oscillating around their own time.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I was kind of imagining, and the advantage of the travelling forward in time is they can keep running into the effects, the lasting effects of their own travel. So, yeah, they appear somewhere in the 1800s, come to the attention of a shadowy group who then show them these very nicely done paintings of themselves that were knocked out by some Italian artist a few hundred years ago. Yeah, had some odd ideas about devices and warfare, but he knocked off these pictures of them, and so that's how they recognized them. They knew they'd come back eventually.
Or the very delicate woodcut image of John Wilkes Booth rearing out from behind the curtain, going, being crushed on the head by the club of a caveman who was also hiding in the theatre waiting for the time log to recharge. But the cultural effects of Abraham Lincoln not being assassinated.
Okay, I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
One, what system do we use?
Fate.
Okay, Kev gets to shut up now. What system do we use?
I don't know. I was throwing it out there. I mean, I can see Fate Accelerated working quite well for this, because I wouldn't be taking it seriously. I'm really liking the idea of these poor buggers just showing up at the worst possible times in history.
We could use Og for hilarity value.
Og?
Og is the game of being a caveman. You roll on a table to figure out how many words you know and what they are. that would be worth checking out. I mean, the whole time log traveling back in time thing, I like the gonzo-ness of it. I was thinking that my idea of the wrong caveman had been pulled out of time and everything's collapsing was almost literal, so that you have people trying, you've got cavemen noticing that this bridge across the city has just collapsed because it was suddenly built with no knowledge of how levers work or something, and society has no idea why the bridge fell down, because they didn't understand it in the first place all of a sudden, and trying to rebuild things. But the oscillating back and forth thing, so that you can see the lasting comedic effect. Mm. It's reminding me of Ben There, Dan That, and Time Gentlemen Please.
Which you have two complete idiots, based on the users who made the game, oscillating backwards and forwards through time, watching themselves completely screw up the multiverse, as far as I can tell.
Creating reptile Hitler.
This is a PC,
PC game.
Point-and-click adventure game.
I see.
The modern drunker in the drunker era.
Yeah.
I might have to do the time log game.
I would like to play in the time log game, because that would be awesome.
I'm getting a strong Abbott and Costello kind of vibe.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm really liking the Ford Theatre idea.
I've come up with an independent idea that I didn't have at the start of recording that might be an equally fun, not terribly serious game. Well, we take the idea that rather than being just a demented, delusional idiot, Dr. Dinosaur is actually right about the state of dinosaur science before everything went wrong. And so we have a plucky band of caveman scientists who've managed to steal some of this advanced crystal-based dinosaur technology and using it to fight back against the reptilian oppressors. So basically you've got like 50s ray guns, except they're made out of branches with lumps of crystal in the middle rather than the wobbly metal bit.
Ha! Huh.
Fighting back against the dinosaur overlord.
Is it bad that I kind of want to play dinosaur in that scenario?
Yes.
No.
Race traitor.
a theropod. Prong you with my prong.
That is how theropods work, yes.
Cold-blooded treachery.
I don't think it's impossible or indeed wrong that Dr. Dinosaur is particularly deluded in that scenario. The idea that, you know, he's a dinosaur from Cretaceous period or something may be entirely incorrect, but the fact he's been chased around by equally unlikely cavemen toting crystal-based technology, also deluded about their origins, could still be hilarious.
Indeed.
Either way.
So it's either actually in the past, on Wayback Island, where some mad genius decided he was going to create a game preserve of some sort.
To create Jurassic Park and missed out on one of the essential points of the movie.
Yeah.
I would do it in the past on the grounds that we're basically playing the cavemen who saved the world and created the scenario that Dr. Dinosaur is trying to undo, assuming that we reboot the universe and it's not actually.
Because that is what it would take.
I don't think he's an idiot. I think he's just deluded.
And impulsive.
Yeah.
Suspicious of mammal treachery. Anyway, have we kicked that idea into oblivion enough, do you think?
I think so. We've kicked it into the ground several times by now, and it just keeps climbing back up again because it's cool.
Hmm. Okay.
For some reason, I was expecting this to be a much shorter show.
I find that the more we do podcasting, the more we find that the less we know about podcasting.
Hmm. Ah, well.
See you next time, folks.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, audience.
Next time on The Big Red Couch.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to hoarde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!